Are you considering taking a new product leadership role? With the shortage of product leader talent and many companies still finding their way to how this role fits into their leadership team, I wanted to hear from our experienced product leaders what they consider to be the most critical, non-negotiable traits to consider when evaluating a new product leader opportunity. So that's our focus on this episode of Fearless Product Leadership. Welcome to the Fearless Product Leadership Podcast. This is the show for new product leaders seeking to increase their confidence and competence. In every episode, I ask experienced and thoughtful product leaders to share their strategies and tactics that have helped them tackle a tough responsibility of the product leader role. I love helping emerging product leaders shorten their learning curves to expedite their professional success with great products, teams, and stakeholder relationships. I'm your host and CEO of Fearless Product, Hope Gurian. In this episode of Fearless Product Leadership, we will hear from experienced product leaders who've led product at multiple companies explain what they consider to be their non-negotiables to take a new product leader opportunity. Not surprisingly, most agree that their boss and market opportunity are pretty important factors, but they also share what is uniquely true for each of them. And at the end, I'll share what I consider to be the most important factors when exploring a product leader role. So let's get into it. In this episode, we hear from Al Ming, VP of Product and Design at CNBC, Margaret Jastrzebski, Product and Strategy Advisor and former SVP of Product at ShopRunner, Lauren Antonelli, former head of product and now chief of staff at Evite, Brandon Anderson, VP of product at Sports Engine, and Lucinda Newcomb, VP of personalization at Walmart.com and former VP of digital product at Sephora. First, Al Ming shares what convinced him to take his current product leader role and how the Ikigai model helps him know when he has found the right product leader opportunity.
So this is a timely question for me about what I think are the non-negotiable things for taking a new opportunity, because I did just take a new opportunity here at CNBC as part of the NBC Universal Comcast family. And I think the most important thing for me, in terms of what's important about a new opportunity is that I believe it is both a combination of an exciting challenge and that it is in some form set up for success, that it is a company that is committed to building great product. And even they might not know how to do it, right? They might want you to come in and be a change agent. They might want you to build a bench in the product organization that did not exist before, but that there is a commitment from your senior leadership, the rest of your senior leadership, your CEO, that they want this, that the goal that you have is the goal that they want. They just don't know how to do it. So it's not about process. It's not about, oh, you're a design thinking expert. That's great. That's what we want. It's about, we want to build great products. And we know that we have to try something different, that there is an appetite for doing good product, even if there is not already a model of great product, that they're committed to having you change things, to having you build more of a test-driven approach, for having you engage with customers more, for having you take more swings, build more MVP tests, have your product teams get out of the building and get in front of customers and learn what great products are. That, I think, is the most important thing. That is what I need to be set up for success, is that kind of commitment. And then I think it's also important that I'm looking over here because, amusingly, I have a picture that kind of articulates what I think about this. This is a reason for being, Ikigai, a model for what job that's important to you is. And for a long time, I used to mentor folks and talk to them about what was important in their jobs. People would come to me and say, like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know where I want to go. Kind of like a coaching kind of model. And I think one of the things that's important to me is that it hits all of these boxes. I think that's part of this answer, too, is that it is, you know, not by now I can feel like I'm good at product, so that box gets kind of solved. People do want to pay me for that, also kind of helpful. But I think another part of this is, and I'm not necessarily a hugely mission-driven person, but I want to believe that what I'm doing matters in some form, that I can understand the value proposition to a customer. And I think that's a big part of what is needed. What is the value I drive to customers, to the industry, to not just the bottom line? And do I have that opportunity to satisfy my intellectual curiosity and to build an organization of people who become like me or are like me already? And I think that that really drives towards creating a job that you want to be in forever or for a long time, that you have that that opportunity for change. There's another model that I've often found interesting in thinking about what's important in a job that I go forward with, which is the self-determination theory. It's a model around motivation and psychology. And it's that you always have an opportunity to master new things. So it's about learning and development, of course. That's a logical one. But also that you have autonomy, that you have the ability to steer your own direction. I think that's always been important for me, is that, you know, what I first said is I want to be set up for success. But part of that is to be able to drive that direction towards success. That success is not just about ticking boxes, but growing as a person, taking on new challenges, building something that I would be proud of into the future. Like, it kind of speaks back to the idea of what is a great product organization in general. It's driven by, that's the thing that you want to build. That's the thing that you want to be a part of. And it's not easy by any means. Sometimes it's not even common. Like, you look around, there's a lot of product organizations that are much more like IT organizations or much more like order takers. So one of the exciting parts for me is knowing that I can, if I'm not stepping into it directly, I know that I can create utopia of product that I want to be a part of.
Next, Margaret Jastrzebski, who has led product at Narrative Science and ShopRunner and is now a strategy advisor, shares the two traits that must be true for her to consider a product leader role.
So my non-negotiables for a product role, I can summarize really quickly. It's a team and market opportunity. I mean, that's really it. And in that order. So team first and then market opportunity next. And both are very, very important. But when I think about product, I can't think of another role in an organization that has such breadth of responsibility, breadth and depth of responsibility. As a product person, you have to think about the strategy. You know, at any given time, you need to be thinking 1, 2, 3 years out, again, depending on the maturity of your organization, and be able to talk to that with conviction, with clarity, with alacrity. And at the same time, you have to be able to turn around and be like, okay, in tomorrow's sprint, we're going to do X, Y, Z. And the architecture and the code and blah, 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 you know, have these types of bugs. Your level of what you have to cover, the things that you have to talk about, really kind of span the gamut. That is a hard role. You also have to be able to talk to the business. You have to talk to the marketing side. You have to talk to the sales side. You have to talk to the business development side. You have to be out in market speaking to people. You have to be really kind of a lot of that face of the product. At the same time, you still need to be facing internally and supporting the dev team and supporting what they're trying to do and supporting the execution side of the house. So when I think about that role, I think it takes a very special person to be able to have that elasticity, to be able to flex into all of these types of functions. And so it takes a special person, but I also think it takes a special team around you. Nothing that we do as product people are actually solo. Like, nothing about this role can you go do alone. You are 100% dependent on all of those people around you because of the information you need to get and provide to all of those different organizations I just listed. So it's super critical to make sure that the team around you is a team that you trust, that you support, that you can get along with, but really face those tough times, face those tough decisions that have to be made, and really come from a spot of trust and then be able to face those tough times together. Because what you do as a product person is difficult. You're inventing something, you're creating something, you're doing something that's never been done before. And you're lifting from, not the ashes, but you're lifting from you're lifting from nothing, right? You're creating from nothing, and you're the one that's supposed to be responsible for defining that and creating that and manipulating that and maneuvering that. And so having a team around you where you can go take these types of risks, and then a lot of times you're not going to be successful, a lot of times you are, hopefully you are, finding that team that's going to be around you and finding that balance is just hands down top priority for me, just because of the innate nature of the role. Like I said, the second thing is market opportunity. For me personally, I've tried a few industries that just doesn't resonate with me. Product, the role itself is so much about empathy and so much about voice of user and representing the user. You have to be able to put yourself in the shoes of your user. And so if you're in an industry where you're like, I just don't get it, or doesn't resonate with me, then it's going to be very hard for you to be able to show up and speak authentically on behalf of the user to your organization. For me personally, things like fintech and edtech, just love it, absolutely need to be there. It just doesn't resonate with me. In the past, I've worked for Orbitz, I've worked for ShopRunner. I really love retail. I really love e-commerce. I really love that problem. If you think about it, I like that flow problem, right? You've got a funnel, you've got a very clear funnel, you build the funnel, optimize the funnel, you transact at the end of the funnel. And that to me is a problem that really resonates with me. I can turn around and go articulate that, and then I'll articulate strategies around that really easily. Some other problems, again, like fintech, where you get into the guts of, I think about like options trading, and I'm like, it's not going to be something that resonates with me. So really comes down to team. And I think it comes down to really the market opportunity, making sure those two things hit are the things that I always look out for when I'm considering a new opportunity.
Now, Lauren Antonelli of Evite shares the qualities that she needs to see in a leader to consider working for him or her.
So, I've made a personal promise to myself that, even when I leave Evite, I will always work for a leader that I believe in and who is passionate about their product, but listens to the people around them, because I've just seen it so many times work the other way. And it's been terrible for people. It's terrible for morale. People are checking in and checking out, and it's just really not a high performing organization. So, mm-hmm. I think it's important to teach PMs how to feel comfortable in giving them tools to be able to challenge anyone or to ask questions to anyone, regardless of where you are, on the totem pole.
Next, Brandon Anderson, who leads product at Sports Engine, shares why clear vision of success is key to taking on a new product leadership role.
The first thing that I would care about is who's going to be my boss, and do we share similar values, and do we share a similar sense of purpose within the organization and a clear understanding of what success looks like in the early days. I don't care if somebody paints a 5-year vision. I do, but that's not a non-negotiable part of that. I'd hope that I'd have a huge say in that over the course of the time. But really, without that, I don't think you have the basis for a successful relationship or a successful stint at a company, however long that might be, right? I am not fearful of things like, I'm not fearful of hard jobs, or I think a lot of people will say the culture has to be a perfect fit. I don't believe that. I actually think that if you do your job really well and you make sure that people are focused on the right stuff, that you can help shape that in really dramatic ways. It's some of the hardest work there is, but I think it's possible. Actually, I know it's possible. I've seen it. And so that to me is not a non-negotiable. It's really about how you align with the vision of the company and where it's going and the people that you're going to be working really closely with. You don't have to agree on everything, of course, but that to me is the biggest thing.
Finally, Lucinda Newcomb, who leads discovery and personalization products at Walmart.com, shares her 5 evaluation criteria that has helped her vet product leader opportunities.
I realized quite a while ago that that there's 5 things that are actually the most meaningful for me when I think about when am I happiest in my role. And, I think, I just took about 6 months off in between jobs where I quit my old job, took my time to find a new one. So I got a chance to talk about this a lot, but really because I was very clear that, I think early in your career, you may just be chasing the next level, but the better you know yourself and the better you know what makes you happy, the better you can actually choose what it is that you want to do next. So for me, my 5 criteria are 1, and these are in priority order. I am a product person. 1 is good macro. So if the company you're joining is struggling and not growing, you are in a very different place than if it is growing. So in oftentimes when you're a struggling company, no matter what you do, you're not going to get the resources. You're not going to be able to do the things that you think are important. And so some people out there may be turnaround experts and may really thrive in those environments where they're like, hey, we can save this. I personally have found that it is super critical to be in a place where you have macroeconomic tailwinds versus headwinds. For example, when I was at Lonely Planet and I was doing mobile apps, which was super fun, and so great macroeconomic tailwinds in terms of mobile app adoption, this was back in 2011, but it turns out people don't want to pay for content. That was a huge macroeconomic headwind that just meant that no matter what we were trying to do, we were always going to be faced with this fundamental that was an exogenous variable and outside of our control. And when it's outside of your control, you can't fix it. So just know what are the macroeconomic situation and understand what the impact is going to be on those things that are in your awareness and impact you, but can't be fixed by you. Second thing for me is passion match. I'm a consumer girl. I love the purchase funnel. I love e-commerce. I love retail. For me, it is all about like, what is it that she's trying to buy, but also what problem is she trying to solve and how can I help solve it in a way that is meaningful for her and help her make a better, more informed decision. And so, you know, I've heard a lot from companies that were like B2B, they want to talk about enterprise software. I'm like, I have no interest in that because I truly believe being a great product leader requires an empathy and an understanding of your customer. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be the target, but it requires you to have empathy for who you are trying to solve the problem for. Otherwise, you can't do a good job of solving for it. And sometimes that means you have to go out and develop empathy for it. You have to go out and do the research for it. But ultimately, if you don't have a passion match and don't want to have empathy and don't want to solve those problems, you are going to have a really hard time connecting with what is the right solution. Because being a product manager isn't about doing what somebody asks of you. It is about understanding the need and the problem and coming up with new and innovative ways to help solve that problem. So passion match was a huge one for me and hence how I ended up at yet another large consumer retailer. The third thing for me is culture. Now, early on in my days at Sephora, I found, you know, unbeknownst to me, that the culture there was a huge amplifier for me. So my first 10 years of my career, as I mentioned, were as a consultant. And so one of my hero powers is adaptability. I can get along in any culture if I have to. I may not enjoy it. I may not choose to stay, but I can. When I got to Sephora, I found a culture that naturally aligned with what are my natural tendencies. And it came down to three key things. Number one, super get shit done. I love getting shit done. I love checking things off a list. Like so many product managers I know, I love myself a good list and be able to actually make things happen. But the second piece is I would say I'm a compulsive collaborator. I'm an off the charts extrovert. My favorite thing in the universe is getting smart people in a room with a whiteboard and a problem to solve. So I love a collaborative environment where it's not about pipe down, listen to your elders. It's about, hey, how do we get some really strong and informed perspectives in a room and have the conversation? But the third thing for me was super focused on solving for the customer. The client experience is queen. And so whenever we'd have disagreements, it would always come back to what's the right thing to do for our customers. And that helped banish a lot of the sniping and a lot of the disagreements. And finding myself in an environment where the culture naturally aligned to and appreciated and rewarded what were my natural tendencies was a massive amplifier. Because what it meant was I could lean into being authentic and figuring out my own leadership style because I trusted that my instincts were good and were aligned with what the organization was going to appreciate and value. And as a result, I got promoted very quickly in a couple of different levels because it was so clear that I was a natural fit and that I could really be amplified there. And so a big part of it for me was finding a culture where I found that I had people who I was going to be, going to trust and respect and find that collaboration again. People where there was an urgency of wanting to get things done and not being bogged down by the need for certainty, but really figuring out here's what we need to do and how do we make decisions and move forward. And finding a place was all about delighting that customer. And so that was a huge part of my decision process. The flip side is probably one of my most important. It was also the hardest to find. It's also one of the hardest to test for when you're not actually in a culture. And so what I would say is a lot of it is simply about finding people who you think are going to be your partners in crime, who you think are going to be strong collaborators with you. Because product management, if we're off in a corner, we're not doing our job. So you need to find people with whom you can have that collaboration. The fourth criteria for me was around role. And similar to the passion match, I was looking for a role that would help me stretch and expand what I'd done. So I mentioned I was running product at Sephora, but here at Walmart, it's on such a completely different scale. Really thinking about that role at this scale stretches me. It makes me think about things that I haven't done before, because I'm what I would say is a lifelong learner. I want to continue to learn and grow. And when you're in a role and have been in it for too long, you may be expert at it, but you stop learning and you stop being curious. And in fact, sometimes you stop even realizing that you're no longer doing a good job because you're not learning and adapting. So I wanted to be at a place where that role was going to continue to push me and inspire me. And then the fifth criteria is compensation, because we all got to eat, sister. So, and don't be afraid to ask for what is the right value for the value that you bring to the table and what is market. And so I wasn't looking to go out there and try and find the biggest bucks for, you know, for my role. I want to make sure that I was going to be a place that valued what I brought to the table and compensated me appropriately for it. So those are my five criteria.
For me, when I was considering product leadership roles, in addition to the market opportunity, I focused on, did the CEO and other key members of the leadership team really understand what it takes to enable good product strategy and practice? Do customers and evidence play a central role in decision-making at this company? Is this a culture that encourages collaboration and cross-functional partnership to inform strategy and execution? And finally, am I going to learn something new and important that will advance my career or even just my knowledge of the world and new customer segments? Those were the factors that were important to me. But I hope that this episode has inspired you to consider what your non-negotiables are. Product leadership is a hard role, so don't compromise and make sure that you're getting as much out of this opportunity as you're going to have to put in to make it a success. Thanks for listening to this episode of Fearless Product Leadership. If you know a new product leader who would find this advice helpful, please let them know about this podcast. You can find me, Hope Gurion, on LinkedIn and Twitter, or subscribe to Fearless Product Leadership on your favorite podcast platform to be notified of new episodes. You will find transcripts, video versions of each episode, as well as more information on my Fearless Product coaching and consulting services by visiting my website, fearless-product.com.
Fearless Product. Confidence through evidence.